Osiris.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to another season of the Best Show Ever podcast. I'm your host, Cam Hurt, and I'll be interviewing people yet again about the best concerts they've ever seen in their life. And this season is going to be a lot of fun. If you're someone who's new to the podcast and you're like, I have to listen to season one to get season two. No, of course not. You could start with season two, but there are some great conversations in season one that we have with some very cool folks. I'm super thankful for everyone who checked out season one and, made it a cool thing. I had so much fun putting it together. So it was awesome that folks wanted to listen. And it was even more awesome that we were able to put together another season for you guys and keep it moving here. Cause we have got some awesome conversations in this season that I am so excited to get out to you guys. And this is absolutely one of them. This episode today on our first week of season two, is with Torn Daniels from the Kitchen Dwellers. This is a great conversation with Torn. Torn's a great guy. He's so funny. And the Kitchen Dwellers right now are just ripping. They're, first of all, have a brand new album out called Seven Devils. So if you haven't heard that yet, definitely give that a listen. Came out like within the last week. They're also touring right now. Torn is touring. So if you're within their reach, if you're one of the towns that they are coming through, absolutely go check these guys out. They're part of that, Jamgrass outfit that is just putting out really cool shows and doing cool things. And so check them out. And I also, this season want to take a little bit of time in the intro of these, episodes and, call out some folks. Talk a little shit on the, no, I'm not, I want to highlight some people in our scene that are doing cool things. You know, obviously the guests of this podcast are people who I think are doing cool things in the scene. And, but you can't get everybody on every season, and there's a lot of people doing a lot of cool things. And so, just want a chance to highlight some of those folks as well. One of them being, another podcast here on this network on Osiris is the No Simple Road podcast. Those guys are just a fantastic, example of how to be within this scene. And, they've been super, super helpful, to me, which is for advice and, getting this podcast up and running. And they also talk with Torn at some point in their, history. They've got like a billion amazing episodes. So definitely go check out, Torn's episode with No Simple Road and all the other episodes they've got. I mean, shit. I've even got an episode with No Simple Road you could check out if you're interested in something like that. No Simple Road podcast, fantastic folks, good heads. Also want to shout out Mountain Gazette. For those of you watching the video right now, I'm wearing a Mountain Gazette hoodie as I do pretty much every day since I've gotten the hoodie. Mountain Gazette is a zine that is based out of Colorado, run by Mike Rogge, and they're, you know, putting out really, really cool zines. It's two a year, so it's a very highly sought after piece. And, you know, they're covering everything from skiing to mountain climbing to, you know, just general outdoors information and aficionado-ness. They're also covering music, and some of the photography that they use in these zines are just unbelievable. Mike's sent me a couple copies, and we've got them right here on our coffee table, and they're just, I mean, awesome to look at. So if that's something that you're looking into, if you enjoy good photography and good writing, Mountain Gazette is certainly doing that right now. So check them out for sure. That's all I've got for shout out. That's all I've got for the intro. I'll get out of your way here. Definitely enjoy this conversation that I have with Torin, but also enjoy the new music that we've got this season. You know, we don't have Jesus and Fartfinger anymore. Their rate got way too high. It was $10,000 for 30 seconds. And so couldn't possibly afford that. But we do have a new song from Loom, a band based out of Salt Lake City. They've got a single out right now called What I Mean. And that's the song that you're hearing in between the intros and the conversations. You've heard them at the end of the clips that we've posted on social media. If you like that song, look up the band Loom, L-O-O-M, and look up their song What I Mean, because that's what you're hearing. But please enjoy this conversation that I have with Kitchen Dwellers Torin Daniels.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys are about to put out a new album.
Yes, we are, right at the end of this month. I think it technically comes out on March 1st, but we're doing the premiere of it on the Leap Year Day.
So you guys are you gonna premiere it live, you mean? Or
yep. Yeah, we have some album release shows back at home in Bozeman, where the band sort of got started in Montana, and we're doing two nights at the Elm there. It's a great, super sick venue, and should be a hell of a time. We got John Mylander coming up to play with us and some other special guests, so
it'll be awesome. That's so cool to get to do it back at home too. I'm sure there's people who are stoked to have you guys there, and you know,
yeah,
to travel around and see,
yeah, totally. Yes, the Montana crew represents very hard. And Montana's like a big state, you know, it's a huge state, and so there's not many people there, so it doesn't really matter like where we play in Montana. Whenever we do play in Montana, people just show the fuck up, and it's awesome. Yeah,
and it's cool that Bozeman is like a stop for like everybody in our scene. Like,
yeah, it didn't used to be that way. It didn't. It was. I'm pretty bitter about it, actually, because when we went to college there, we went to school in Bozeman, and like Missoula was the stop. That's like the other. Basically, in Montana, you have all of Montana, and the two like music or college towns are Bozeman and Missoula, and and they're kind of like, you know, they're not exactly by each other. They're kind of on in opposite parts of the state. So everyone would always, all the bands would always breeze through Bozeman and then stop in Missoula and do like two night runs. And so we'd be like, all right, I'm going to fucking drive, you know, 3 hours this weekend, you know, in college to go catch this two-night run and then drive my ass back to Bozeman. And they never didn't stop in Bozeman a lot. There were some, but not as much as Missoula. And now, since Logjam's been around, and been establishing great venues, now Bozeman is definitely a stop now that I don't live there anymore, you know?
Right. Yeah. Now you just come home when you're touring.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how Wisconsin was, to be honest. I mean, you either got, Wisconsin's a much smaller state, but like it was either the shows are happening in Madison or they're happening in Milwaukee and like, that's it. And so.
Yep. Yeah. Or everyone's just going straight to Chicago and they decided to fuck Wisconsin this time around.
Exactly. And there was a lot of that. There's a whole lot of that. And so. And then there's nothing really going else on other than the same. I mean, like Eau Claire is cool, but I mean, other than that, fuck. Few and far between. So
yes, few and far between. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. This this will come out right after that album comes out.
Oh, nice.
And so man, people are gonna be inundated with torn stuff.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I've been spamming the shit out of everyone this year already.
Do you have to do a lot of that yourself, do you feel like? Do you have to do a lot of like marketing, like posting on Instagram, all that kind of stuff.
Our team is super good. We're with 1111, which is like the same guys that help manage Goose and Twiddle and stuff. So like our team is super tight. We've known the guys that manage us for a long time now, before they were even our managers. So they take care of us pretty well, and there's a lot of good content all the time, and a lot of cool shit being done and being made. I used to basically solely run the band social media, which is like a job in and of itself.
Dude,
it would just like take up like all, like my whole day on tour. We'd be like on tour and I'd like wake up and I would just like start working on social media stuff. And now they mostly run a lot of it. But I'm just kind of, the voice for the band, I guess, on social media. I feel like people in management are maybe afraid of like, you know, being crass on the internet or swearing. And like, I'm a pretty fucking offensive person, so I don't really have a problem with that.
Yeah, that's, I'm starting to run into that too, where like people are like, we'd love for you to make a video for us. And then I send something back. They're like, that's awesome. Can you not say the F word three times in it? That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Or either that, or they love it. Like there's like no in between. Either people are like, you should be more professional online and not swear so much. Or I'm just like post shit like, yo bitches, we're in town. And people are like, amped, you know? So there's no in between.
Like, so calling the audience bitches. Yeah, we want to talk to you about that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. We would like to cover your use of several words. You're not fucking Miles Davis. You can't just throw bitch out there willy-nilly.
It sucks. Yeah. It sucks that we're not Miles Davis.
It does. It really does. It is a bummer. I don't know if anyone else has considered this today or not, but if just take a little time to be depressed that you're not Miles Davis
today. Yeah. I'd say remember it at least once for a couple minutes every day, and that'll calm you down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good way to keep the ego in check and further your spiritual journey.
Oh man. Well, I love all the stuff that you guys do online. I love all your music too. And you have played some great shows. You guys have been playing some really great tours, especially over the last year here, but we're not going to talk about probably any of those today.
Okay. Okay, cool.
We're going to talk about shows that you've seen.
And
attended. So what was the first concert you ever saw in your life?
The first concert I ever saw in my life was probably Chris Ledoux. Do you know who Chris Ledoux is?
No.
So there's this subcategory of country music, because a lot of country music is pretty, you know, pretty safe to assume that a lot of country music, especially nowadays, is made by people who aren't, you know, Western or rural in upbringing whatsoever. You know, like fucking like Florida Georgia Line doesn't know how to ride a fucking horse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, so zero work on the land. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So there's this subcategory of country music that's called cowboy music. And there's like, you know, there's a really small group of people probably that are actual country music, successful country music musicians that were also, you know, successful either farmers or ranchers or were in the rodeo. So one of those guys was Chris Ledoux, who was, he was popular like in like 80s, 90s. And then he passed away several years ago now, but he was kind of a family friend of ours. Growing up, I grew up in Wyoming, and my dad went to Casper College and was friends with Chris, one of Chris's sons, Clay. And my dad rode rodeo sometimes growing up. And so like, and so did Chris's son. And Chris, he won the national finals rodeo like back in the 90s, which is kind of like one of the bigger achievements you can have being in the rodeo. So we went to see Chris a lot growing up, and my dad still talks to Clay, his son, nowadays. So, but we got to know like that type of music, like fit our lifestyle really well. Like I grew up, you know, in a ranching family. My grandparents raised cattle and stuff. So like that type of music kind of really speaks to that lifestyle and that culture. So that was probably the first show that I ever went to.
Wow. Yeah. And that's like, that is real country music. That's not going to be played on 106.1, you know?
Yeah. Or... He saw a little bit of commercial success. And I mean, people definitely still play his stuff here and there on the radio, but it is few and far between. But yeah, that was the kind of music that we grew up with, was like Marty Robbins esque type country music.
With, you know, I certainly feel this way about like the music that my parents introduced me to, but that's even more so because he's close. Like, did that music just probably just felt like yours then, right? Were there people at your school that were into it, or is it just like, this is my...
Yeah, probably here and there. I mean, I went to like a small country school, so like everyone was pretty familiar with that music, but it definitely like, it feels like it's stuff that I know, you know, like we are in our live show now, we'll cover some of those old cowboy tunes pretty frequently. And it definitely like seeing those, like I've like known the words to those songs since I was like 7 years old. And so like playing those, it kind of like feels like, you know, like you have some sort of ownership over that music, or, you know, it's part of me, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, I feel that way about bands that are, my dad didn't know any of these fucking people at all. Like he didn't know Rush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we heard Rush on the radio. I was like, oh shit, there's Uncle Rush on the radio.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
But like, it feels like yours, and that's like, you know, tied super close to you. Do you see other people covering those songs? Like, are there other artists covering any of his stuff?
I don't know if there really is. Cause a lot of like, I mean, at least in our genre, like whatever it is, bluegrass, newgrass, jamgrass, whatever the fuck you want to call it. A lot of that, like, so much of the heritage of bluegrass is from the East Coast. And is from, you know, Appalachia, and then if not there, you know, further down south. I mean, now there's a large contingent of Midwestern bluegrass musicians, obviously, you know, Billy and Lindsay Liu and Green Sky and all those folks, they're all from Michigan. And, you know, like Horseshoes and Hand Grenades and Pertnier and all those guys are from Wisconsin and Minnesota. So there is a larger contingent of Midwestern too, but a ton of the, you know, tradition of bluegrass and everything is from Appalachia, you know, and everyone in our band, except for Max, Max is from Chicago area, but everyone else is, our whole upbringing has been Western. Like I'm from Montana and yeah. Sean's from Telluride, Joe's from Alaska. So like all of this, we have this like separate, you know, bit of musical heritage in our lives, that we don't really share with a lot of people in our genre. Yeah. So, I mean, like kind of in the same way that, you know, the Dusters might play Bill Monroe all the time, or Billy might play Doc Watson all the time, we find ourselves covering more, you know, Marty Robbins, you know, Chris LeDoux, Willie Nelson, that type of, you know, Ian Tyson, that kind of thing, you know, where it's just a little bit, it's just a difference in our upbringing, really, you know?
Yeah. I think it's super fucking cool. The education that comes along with getting into the scene as it is right now, like you said, with Billy or like Kitchen Dwellers or, any one of you guys, any one of these bands are, kind of doing like an old blues thing of like, we're going to teach you a little bit about bluegrass tonight through these songs that you don't know these ones. And
yeah,
you're going to walk away with some education. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And we try to be, you know, I mean, it's nice. Cause now there's like, you know, there's like things like this, like podcasts and there's a bunch of information out there where, people can see, these sort of jam bands talking about the heritage of the music where like back in the day, when we were like in college, everyone would be like, oh, well, fucking String Cheese wrote Can't Stop Now. I've heard String Cheese play Can't Stop Now 100 times. Yeah. And you know, and now there's like, there's the, that education out there and that information for everyone to go sort of be able to go back through the years and figure out where a lot of this music came from.
Yeah. It's super cool. And it's like I said, I mean, I feel like our generation, you know, folks that are our age are like, you know, they're all over the set list. They're all over the podcast. They're all over all the info so they can, you know, truly get educated on stuff. You feel like this, maybe the younger folks are like a little less heady or informed, but they're like ravenous for the, you know, the info and like the history and all that stuff.
Yeah. Show nerds, dude. Wooks are just show nerds. That's all they are.
Major nerds.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yep, just the trinkets are different. Instead of you know, instead of Magic the Gathering cards, it's like little pins that you put on your hat and shit.
That's right.
Yeah,
little pieces of cardboard that are
exactly.
Hell yeah. Do you have a worst show that you ever saw in your life? You don't have to put any artists down if you don't want to. But
yeah. A worst show. Man, that's hard to think of. I don't know if there's like, you know, I'd have to think back. There's like, I mean, there's definitely instances where not because of the performer, but because of maybe like how a festival was set up or, you know, how the show was planned where there was like some sort of faulty, you know, equipment or things like that on stage where it just seemed like it was like really rough, you know, like they had to like really work to get through that set. Some of those come to mind, whereas like, that's like, you know, that's nobody's fault. That's just sometimes shit happens. But thinking of like a show that was like really, really fucking bad, I gotta think.
It also be personal. Like if you fucked up, you know.
Totally. Yeah.
It's not like, always on the band.
Yeah, right. I would say this is kind of hilarious because I had a great time, but the difference in like showmanship between genres is kind of hilarious. Because like jam bands are like, oh, we're gonna play this stuff and we're going to be super technical and we're going to explore sonically and we're not really going to talk that much. And we're just going to, you know, we're going to kind of put on the show and let everyone make their own, you know, pull their own experience from it. Last summer I went and saw NOFX, which is one of my favorite bands.
Didn't know they were on tour.
Yeah. They did a farewell tour. And right. And all my punk friends were like, you know, this is the farewell tour. They're not gonna, it's not like Dead & Co. It's not like a jam band thing where it's like, oh, farewell tour, and then we're gonna fucking run it back like 8 more times, you know?
It's not gonna be the Stones. Okay?
Yeah,
it's not gonna be the Stones farewell tour.
Yeah. These are punk dudes. They don't give a fuck what anyone thinks, and they're getting old and they don't give a shit anymore. And once they're done. But lo and behold, they're doing another farewell tour this summer. I'm probably going to go try to see him again. But yeah, we went to that show, and it was like, they just get to the end of the song and just like, you know, they're just like, fuck it. They just fucking give up. Like last note of the song, like whatever. Everyone just hits a fucking different note, or like, you know, drops their guitar or whatever. And they're like, you know, super crass on stage, making jokes that would get any jam band act canceled 100%. You know, and because it's punk rock, everyone's just like, yeah, this is fucking awesome. And I had a great time. I had a fucking blast.
Oh yeah. I mean, they know their audience, you know, they're like,
yeah.
They love it when we fucking don't care about the end of the song, or they love it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. They love it when we forget the words, or like, there's no set list on stage, so no one knows what song we're playing next, or like, you know, shit like that.
Man. Well, you got to go see him again then.
I'm going to go for sure. I'd probably listen to more of that type of music nowadays than I do any sort of, you know, jam band type things.
You're not a show nerd. You're not dipping in all the dates.
Well, I mean, I think I've grown out of it until I like go and see one of our friends' bands play, or like, oh, you know, or we play a show with, you know, like Twiddle or, you know, anybody, Green Sky, but any of our friends' bands where I'm like, you know, I don't really listen to this type of music anymore. And then I just like catch a set of them and they like fucking send it. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I can't deny I'm still a fucking jam band hippie. Dude. I still love the noodly bullshit, and it's fucking awesome.
Yes. Hey man, I have a whole podcast about the noodly bullshit. So I love it.
Yeah,
too.
Dude. Yeah.
I get it. And it's hard to pick your best show out of all of the shows that you've seen. Sounds like you've seen a bunch. But do you have any like honorable mention shows that you would be remiss if you didn't bring them up on the episode?
Oh yeah. So one of the first things, we ever did as a band in college, when we all got together and we're like, all right, we're not just picking tunes anymore. Like we got a gig, like we're going to be a band, you know, and we're like practicing as much as we can and getting together as much as we can. And so one of the first things we ever did when I was a freshman at MSU was all of us that were in the band got together and drove to Missoula and did a 2-night Yonder Mountain string band run. And cool. And that was the first time I'd ever seen Yonder. And Sean had seen him a bunch because he grew up in Telluride, and I don't think the rest of us had seen them at all. But it was just like a transformative weekend, for us. We met a ton of our friends in Missoula that are still like some of the best friends that we have, like that are people I talk to every day. We met those people that weekend, and like stayed, you know, at a house with all these other, you know, 19-year-old hippies just like having the best fucking time in Missoula that weekend. And it was like, the recordings are still there. It's April of 2011. They're in Nugs. Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever seen Jeff Austin perform, and it was just like this fucking like ball of energy. And they did a Misfits cover like right out of the gate. And I was like, I'm fucking sold, you know, like,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
into this, you know? And then the second night they did, this song. It's like, it's kind of a song. It's kind of like a jam that just like Jeff just like free forms the words to, but it's called Fall Me Down to the Riverside. And it's about, it's basically like a murder ballad that Jeff kind of formulated over his whole career. And it only the chorus was the only thing that ever really stayed the same, and the rest of it, he's just, it's like kind of, it's like Trey going off on Game Hinge. He's just like telling a story. And it's super fucking dark. It's a murder ballad. It's about this guy, and he catches his wife cheating on him, and he kills her down by the riverside with like a pickaxe and like buries her. And it get, and like they had like these, this crazy light rig, and they had like this, Jeff had this like voice modulator on his shit that like went super deep and made him sound like some sort of like bluegrass demon. And it was fucking terrifying.
that and sounds like it.
Yeah. And it was awesome. I was like, I never knew that, you know, music without a drummer could even be like taken to someplace like that. Yeah. And it was like the whole weekend, you know, was sold out at the Wilma. So it's like, just like 1500 people crammed in there, just like going nuts. And, that's probably like the show that I think back the most to, that like, probably changed the trajectory of my life the most.
Yeah. Just seeing that presentation of music and also getting like a little bit of punk stuff in there to be like, here, you're going to, you're actually going to love this, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And you combine that with being like, you know, new to college and like new, you know, making all these new friends, and you're 19 and, you know, everyone's lit on psychedelics, and it just, you know, you combine all those things and it just made for a really life-changing experience, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, when you, some stuff is scary when you're young, you know, and you're like leaving the house for the first time. So you get like, you know, exposure therapy to a terrifying presentation of a song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
totally.
Wait, this is actually fucking awesome. There's like a part of you that like expands in that moment, you know, you're like, wait, this is great. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was, yeah, it's, this is, hilarious. Actually, I actually met, my partner, that I've been with for, 7 or 8 years now, but I met her for the first time at the after party of one of those shows that weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is just like, yeah, it's, I can't write shit like that.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. That's, hey, yeah. I also met my girlfriend in college.
Yeah.
We dated 8 years after that. Cause and that's the better choice. Cause I was a piece of shit back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's the thing. We didn't, she was just my friend for a long time. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
But it's better off. That's what I always tell my,
Yeah, man. The 22-year-old human male is a fucking monster for sure.
Just a bad guy. Just an awful
just,
guy.
You just don't even want anything to do with that. You don't want to go on a date with that or go to the movies with that. Absolutely not.
We smoked weed together, and that was kind of that was what I was best at back then. And so she saw me at my best.
Totally. Yeah.
we say that all the time. And anytime I've got a buddy who's like going through like a breakup issue or like he's been single for a while, trying to get back out there, I'm like, you got to meet someone 9 years ago and then reconnect now.
Yeah,
that's the that's the way.
That's the way. Yep. And they're like, wow, you've grown so much. You've put so much effort into your personal growth. Yeah. Yep. That's good. That's
she was
good
like, she's like, you're kind of like exactly what I remember. Actually, you haven't really changed kind of at all. Charming. what about other shows? Do you have any other like honorable mention shows that were pretty awesome? Or?
Yeah. Last summer I went to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard,
dude.
And that shit is fucking next level, man. That band has it figured out, in my opinion. Have you seen them?
I got to also see them last year, and I mean, immediately I mean, just during the show, I'm like, this might be the best concert I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was phenomenal. It's at Hollywood Bowl. Yeah. They were pretty stoked on selling it out. You know, cause it's a pretty big venue, and they hadn't toured there before. And it was just like, yeah, I mean, all the different types of stuff that they get into. It was like the beginning of the show, you know, one of their dads had passed. And so it was like a pretty somber opening. They opened with like four songs that they had co-wrote with him.
Oh,
that
no yeah. One, Yeah. Also yeah. Like the eyes like the sky shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're like, it was pretty emotional opening of the show. They're hugging each other. They're, you know, there's some tears and all totally. That stuff. And then they just like bust into that, you know, metal stuff that they've been doing. Like it was like a Gaia something else, Gaia sandwich. It was like right after that. And I was like, wow, we are fucking off and running now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we're going. Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's how it was. I saw them, in Seattle at the, like the Tulip Farm thing that they were at by Seattle. And it was just like right after that. And me and a couple of my buddies went, and it was like pouring rain, like, and it had been pouring rain all weekend, like just like torrential downpour. And I'm like, we're in there and I'm like wearing like extra tough boots, like, you know, like knee high waterproof boots, and like, and everyone's wearing like, you know, huge raincoats and shit. And then there's like all these kids that are running around that are like, you know, median age, like probably like 20, and they're all like wearing bib overalls and nothing else. Yeah. Like no shoes, no shirt. And they're all like, I can only compare it to what I imagine like Fish Lot was like in like 91 or 2 or whatever, you know, like there's like a new thing. All the fans are like super young and they're all super into it. And it's like straight up like cult like behavior. Like there's like all these like choreographed dances and shit that like they all knew to the different songs. Yeah. That like, I'm like a pretty big fan. Like I've like studied their music. I like learn how to play their songs and get into their albums and the concepts of all their albums and shit. And like these kids knew way more about this band than I had any idea. And they're like, they go into the river towards the end of the show.
Love that song.
Yeah, fantastic song. And we're like standing like in the pit, like in the mosh pit. And there's like, you know, I'm standing in like 18 inches of mud. Like it's fucking brutal. And all these people come out of nowhere. This like conga line of kids like comes into the middle of the mosh pit, like pushes all the moshing kids out of the way. And they all fucking sit down in the mud in the middle of the circle pit. And they like they're on a rowing team. Like they all fucking start like in unison. And there's like one guy standing up in the middle, facing away from the stage. He's not even looking at the stage. He's just yelling like, row, row. And like in time with the music. And that song's like 20 minutes long. Like they committed, like they did that almost that whole fucking song. And this was like, we were like in the middle of this shit. And when I was like, took out my phone, like started fucking video. And I was like, I cannot believe this is straight up cult like behavior. And the only thing I could compare it to is like Fish or the Dead. Like I would think it was back in the day. And yeah, it was awesome. It was, I mean, I just love how they do everything so much differently than everyone else. They only play their own songs. They don't do any covers.
Yeah.
They don't do a fucking encore. They don't do a fucking set break. You know, and they tease a bunch of shit, but they only tease their own songs in the middle of other songs, which is hilarious. Like that's so fucking awesome. Like there's so many shows, like, and even we are guilty of that. We're like, oh, I'm going to play this like Simpsons riff for like 10 seconds just to see if anyone fucking hears it. And they're like, no, we're going to like tease other songs from other albums that have nothing to do with whatever we're playing right now. Just because we can.
Yeah. And the rate at which they put stuff out and the variety of stuff that they have, like, you know, you've got an audience that is willing to listen to like literally anything that you put out there, and they will, they'll put out all of their, like,
I
didn't know any of those opening songs. I didn't know there was a bunch of stuff I didn't know in that show. And I feel like I listened to a lot of fucking King Giz, you know? Like,
yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. They just, I was really blown away by the crowd as well. And like the commitment to the crowd. And I think that they were too, like, they were kind of like, I think that Seattle show was pretty close to the end of their tour here in America. And like, maybe ours was right before. And they were like, yeah, we've seen a lot of you at all the shows. That's really fucking weird. Thanks. But that's strange. Yeah. Like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. None of you are spending your money wisely. We just wanted to let you know.
Yeah. And again, like, you'd never hear a jam band be like, why the fuck are you guys at all of our shows? Like,
yeah. Like, why are you here again? What the hell are you doing here?
Like, we don't know what that's about, but thank you.
Yeah. But thanks. Yep. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's a funny thing. I saw like an interview with them where they like it hasn't really ever occurred to me that the jam band culture is like not a thing in most other countries. And it's like, and they like don't even know what it is or what to compare it to. So when the, like, you know, these guys from Australia are talking about it, like, we just love, like, they wholeheartedly love the American jam band culture, and that it's like absorbed them. Like, it's like welcomed them and sort of taken them into this idea of like, you can play a bunch of different shows and people will come to several of them, and you can, like, you know, just throw yourself out there. You can fuck up at, you know, while you're playing this show, you make mistakes, and it's fine. It's like, it's totally, you know, an agreed upon thing that, like, sometimes you're gonna put yourself out there and you're not gonna play your best, but sometimes when you do, they are the best times, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got so much abandon in their stuff. Like, they've, you know, Stu in particular, watching him work on stage and, you know, go between guitar and the flute thing and, you know, setting up little grooves and, like you said, teasing their other songs. And I mean, yeah, I'm just like, these guys are going to be touring for a long time in this. They're going to be able to do it within our community for a long time, because they've just got, yeah, they've got a lot of energy, a lot of firepower.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing those videos from the show of the kids in the mud rowing. I was like,
dude, yeah. Yeah. The Reddit videos. Yeah. Like, I was like, there's gotta be, I can't be the only guy that took a video of this shit.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah. And you don't see any other bands doing that. We've got some really dedicated fan bases here in the US, but I don't remember anyone ever sitting down in the mud and rowing.
Yeah.
In the fourth row.
Yep, me neither. Yep, I am. Yep, I was blown away. It was awesome.
Yeah, they're great. With that though, do you have a best show that you ever saw in your life? Best show ever,
if you will. Best show that I ever saw in my life. I don't know if this is the best show. This is the one that immediately comes to mind though. Is the first weekend that I ever saw Phish.
Sure.
Was at the Gorge, in 2010, in like August, and they played, second set was like Rock and Roll by Velvet Underground, yep, into Meat Stick, into Boogie On Reggae Woman, and it was like that whole segment of music was probably like an hour long.
Yeah.
And like, I remember it was like a kind of a big to do when it, like, that year, like, this was like jam of the year or whatever. But like, that was the first time I'd ever witnessed anything like involving any sort of type 2 jam, just like flagrant disregard for what, however the song went before this, now we're doing this. And, just like the like changes that they went through, and like bringing back, like, you know, they do like the cross-eyed and painless shit where they're like, oh, we're gonna bring this back like 1,000 times throughout the show, you know, like, we're gonna
love it.
Yeah. Still
My
waiting.
Favorite shit.
Yeah. We're going to say still waiting in every song, for the next 3 hours. And yeah, they kind of did that too with the Rock and Roll. Like, it's all right. But then it was like in like really creepy parts where it was like Fishman's like, it's all right, and it was like, you know, this really like haunting, uncomfortable shit taking place on stage, and that was like, I'd like go back, you know, semi-regularly, probably once a year, and listen to that show, just because of, yeah, like how phenomenal the jamming was. And that was, and then just being the first time like seeing Phish, and then also being at a venue of that magnitude is like sort of really cemented in my brain. So, yeah, that was one of the best shows I think I've ever been to, for sure.
Are you playing music at that time? Are you?
Yeah, actually, Sean, our mandolin player, was there at the Gorge with me. And that was like, yeah, that was the summer after our freshman year. I think. Yeah. Summer after freshman year.
You're in that time and you're in college and you're seeing a bunch of shows, you know, like that's going to kind of crack you open a little bit. It feels like.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. I remember that summer I was working for the BLM, in Montana, the Bureau of Land Management, which is most definitely a government agency, most definitely federally funded. And when I left for like the, you know, an extended weekend, and my boss was like, why are you leaving for, you know, these 4 days? And I was like, oh, I'm going to see fish. And he was like, you're going to see fish? And I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, okay. And it was between that discussion and then the you need to cut your hair discussion, I think, that I was like, I don't think this is for me, man. I don't think I don't think I was cut out for public service, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you gave it a crack, but
yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a great job. I spent a lot of time outdoors. It was a cool job to have at that age, but it was, turns out, it wasn't meant for anything federally funded.
Yeah. I mean, there's that part of like your growing up as you like want to do all this cool stuff. You're also like becoming a professional person and you want to, you know, have a good job and be able to, you know, pay for all this shit too. But, yeah, they don't love when you leave for long weekends for fish. There's never been an employer I've ever had that's been like, nice, man. Well, nice, dude.
You know what's good for you? You know what? Fucking good for you, dude.
Get me a shirt.
Yeah. I have a buddy in Denver that told me like years ago, he's an engineer in Denver, and he said he left for a long weekend, and his boss is pretty chill, but he goes to leave and his boss goes, so you like going out there to like sit down on some pine needles and listen to the string cheese incident? And he was like, yeah, probably. I'm probably going to end up doing that at some point this weekend. Yeah.
I might clear the pine needles first, but yeah. I'm definitely going to be.
Yeah. I came here to dirt twirl a hole in my Birkenstock, if you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean, like do exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, it's like your duty as that age of a person too, to go out and have cool experiences and go see the world and go
and fucking disappoint people,
be selfish. Yeah. Be very unreliable.
You know, be unreliable. You know, you don't have to do that yet. You know, just go out and, yeah, make mistakes, piss some people off. That's how you figure out who you are, I feel like.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Go be in a big crowd of people spinning around. Yes. To bring it back to the big crowd of people in the show, in that hour of music, were you, you know, you said you're at the Gorge, it's like a huge venue type of a deal. That's kind of like for Wisconsin, that's our Alpine Valley, you know.
Totally.
Like,
yeah, man.
You get those big, I mean, were you like, were you in one of those jams where people are kind of like cheering it on and like you get the crowd like, wow, we're in this big.
Yep. And it starts to sort of die down and then it like ramps back up and like you can hear like the influence of the crowd on the band. That was one of those times for sure where I was like, oh, this is a circular energy sort of thing taking place. Like, the band is feeding off the crowd. The crowd is also feeding off the band and the whole thing's feeding off of itself. And because it's like at the Gorge and we're like at the, you know, we're up on the lawn for that. So you're like looking down. It's not like seeing, you know, it's not like dancing to music, like at a, you know, at like a disco or something like that, where it's like this, you know, people are just bopping around and everything. Like, it's fish. So like everyone is focused on like, what is this fucking thing that's down there that's like taking place and like drawing me in, like it's its own entity. And I'm like, and I'm here with it. So like, we have to address that situation.
It's totally that. And it can like, you know, it can make you move and dance and things like that, like as if you're in a disco. But yeah, you can kind of be a little locked in, kind of just focused on the happening that's going on.
Yeah, in front of you. Totally. Side note, you're from Wisconsin, and you've been to Alpine Valley several times, probably.
Several times.
Have you been to the Frank Family Fish Fry?
No, I've never done that.
Do you know what that is?
I have heard of it, but I've never been a part of it. No.
So we're friends with these brothers, the Frank brothers, and it's either their mom or like someone in their family lives like very near Alpine Valley. And it's like the Wisconsin fish fry tradition, you know, on Fridays, go to fish fry. And it started as like just the family, is just having a get together. And also fish is taking place by Alpine Valley, and like the Frank brothers are going, you know? And so like, it started with like them bringing some of their friends to the family function before the show. And now it's like, I'm pretty sure it's like a ticketed event. Like you can, you know, buy tickets to the Frank Family Fish Fry and like show up, and half of Wisconsin shows up to like pregame at our buddy's parents' house before they go to Alpine Valley is my impression of it. I've never been, but that was like, this is like second or third hand information, but that is my impression of what that is.
Well, you get wind of stuff like that because the general assumption is like, I mean, Alpine Valley is out in the middle of, you know, nowhere really. And so there's a lot of huge properties and there's like a couple houses off the road, but there's not like a ton going on out there. And so
yeah. The
general thought is like, man, we're really bugging these people who usually live in general silence. You know, here comes
totally.
Like,
yeah,
50,000 people. But then you catch wind, there's actually some folks out here who really enjoy it. They've actually been doing XYZ for years, you know, whatever it is, like having people stay with them or park on their property, or there's actually some people who are super pro those huge groups coming through. And I've never got to do anything like that, but that is such a Wisconsin, like there was a guy in my hometown who started like a party bus company, which was, you're thinking of a party bus with like the cool lights on the inside. Like you see, this is just a school bus that he made good enough to run. And it was totally. Like, we go party at his house before stuff at Alpine Valley. Everyone pays some money. You get a sandwich and then you get to go to Alpine Valley. Like that is like a very classic, like Wisconsin, you know, pregame situation, you know,
this is where you pick up your beer and your cheese curds. Now get on the fucking bus.
And he's got these big subs and you could just cut off however much of a sub you want. And you could throw some mushrooms on that sub if you wanted to. And then you were good for the show.
That's fucking awesome. Yes, that is very, that is extremely Wisconsin.
Yeah, it really is.
Hell yeah.
And now that I know about that, I might have to, I don't know the Frank brothers. I don't know the Frank family, but.
I can put out a feeler for you.
Please invite me, Frank family. I want in.
Yes, please. Eric and Ryan Frank, if you're listening, this man needs to make it to the fish fry.
Hell yeah. I mean, with the circular relationship that you were talking about earlier between the audience and the band, I mean, I know that within bluegrass, there's, you know, you guys are talking to each other and you're focused on each other, but do you feel like you get that out of your audiences? Like where you're
definitely,
you get to step it up. Yeah,
definitely. There's a lot of, songs or jams that we will do where it like, we can come in like super hot right out of the gate and do, you know, like we get into some heavier stuff, especially for being a bluegrass band that or, you know, bluegrass instrumentation. We get, you know, kind of metal on stage sometimes, and we can do stuff like that where it comes in, you know, screaming hot out of the gate, and you can like watch the demeanor of the crowd change. And some people are like, you know, some people are initially like terrified, like, oh no, I don't want this. And some other people are like, fuck yeah, this is what I'm here for, you know?
Exactly.
And you can like build that energy. And I feel like that, like being comfortable with that and being comfortable on stage and being like willing to double down on that aspect is like when some of our best jams and best improvisational work with each other come about. Not only like being comfortable with each other on stage and being able to hear everything well and like, you know, feel like you're loose on stage, but also being comfortable with like going into something and like the first part of it not being like, you know, not like going off without a hitch, you know, on stage.
Yeah.
And then like doing that and being like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that. And then double down and do it again. And then the next time it comes around, people are like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, you know, it's kind of a, super circular relationship. And I definitely take a lot from the audience reaction when we play, for sure.
Yeah, because like you were saying earlier, I'll play a Simpsons tease for a little just to see if anyone's even going to hear it. So then we get there, like, oh, they're listening. Like we got, you know.
Totally. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's that is one of the more satisfying moments when you're like, oh, you get the big reaction. You're like, oh, people are paying attention. You know, that's super cool.
We fucking got you.
Yeah, we got him. We got your fucking number, bud.
Oh, you love it, don't you?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I mean, because that is the whole relationship in comedy. I don't have anyone else that I usually, I mean, I do improv with, you know, my guys who I do improv with, but you're getting, you're waiting for a reaction.
Definitely. Or, oh yeah. You do. So you actually do like stand-up comedy, like comedy shows.
I do. I do stand-up. I started off my thing doing stand-up a long time ago, but then in Chicago, there's a really good scene of improv where you do, like long form improvisational scene work where, you know, you'll
just like fucking riffing back and forth.
Riffing. Yeah. Or like sometimes people work with a group and they're trying to set up like, essentially like an improvised like TV show, almost like play situation that goes on in front of you. I did everything that I did with just one other guy. His name's Trent, and we ran like a midnight show, and it was like very, like you're talking about stuff that goes off without a hitch. Like, we were not trying to be a polished we were trying to be like really meta and like really, you know, let things break and then sit in the thing that's broken for a while and see what you can do with that, and you know, work with the lighting guy and make, you know, talk to the lighting guy in the middle of the show and like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And make it seem like, was there even a show? Like, did that get so broken that that wasn't even a show? And so that is just like, you're just trying to keep momentum of stuff that has worked, you know? And you're like, oh, you guys like that? We'll hammer that for a while and then we'll move off it. We'll see it again in 20 minutes or something, you know?
Yep. Yeah. We're going to Eric Andre this for a little bit in between, though. You're going to get pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's going to be like, did we pay for this? Cause I don't think we should have paid for this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like I should have, I should be compensated for this bullshit. At least everything you do with comedy though has like a, you know, a biological reaction, like the laugh, you know, the laugh is like, you know, kind of an, what am I trying to say here? It's like, it's not like an effort for someone to laugh, you know, they're not like thinking about it. Like, it's just like, it just happens like that. It's involuntary. Have you heard Patton Oswalt's bit about magicians?
Where he's I love Patton Oswalt though, but what?
Oh yeah. He's like, he's the man, but it's like, he's like, you know, he's like, I'm a comedian. Like, yeah, like, which if I tell you say something funny and you laugh, like it's involuntary. Like you're gonna laugh. No problem. But anything that a magician does, it doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if he's making a fucking elephant disappear. Everyone's reaction is going to sound sarcastic, no matter if it's genuine or not. Like, no matter what you do as a magician on stage, the reaction is going to be, ooh,
you know? Wow. Like,
take time today to be thankful that you're not a fucking magician.
It's so true. Awesome. Whoa.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Fuck that, dude. I don't want any part of that shit in my show. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. It is funny when you get any sort of reaction that's not a laugh, because it's like, You get like telling a story about a breakup you went through, and someone's like, and you're like, wait, what's up?
Hey, no, you feel sorry for me? No, no, that's not why we came here. No.
No, it's actually hilarious. Just
This is, if we get to the part where it's funny, just shut up for a second.
Everybody, shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up for a second, please.
Oh, dude. Well, I mean, I can't wait to see you guys when you guys come through Los Angeles. I don't know when that's coming, but
yeah, man. Dude, we'll be at the. I was just doing. I was looking at tour stuff right before I called you. Dude, yeah, we'll be at the Troubadour on the 17th this month.
Oh yeah,
on Saturday. Okay. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm
so come on up.
I suck at knowing when shows are. People are like, Sam Grisman's coming to town on the 10th. I'm like, yeah, we've been talking a bunch for months. Look or something, you know, like.
Talking to Sam can get super off the rails, like really quickly.
Yeah. I just got to hang out with him for the first time. We had a blast, dude.
Dude, he's a character.
And got super baked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did he show you? Like, did he have like a crazy like dab piece like on him when you saw him?
We were just rocking with the Puffco, which was crazy.
Yeah.
I love those things.
That shit is wild.
But he was showing me some glass too, and I was like, "Wow, dude, it's been a while since I've seen some heady glass, brother."
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No shit, dude. Last time I looked at this heady glass, I was wearing patchwork pants. For sure.
Yeah. And I had as much money as the glass costs, and I bought it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And I fucking bought it. Yep. I had exactly that amount of money in my bank account, and I bought that shit.
And it's so good.
Yeah.
you guys have a bunch of shows coming up. Do you have any shows that you're looking to, that you're excited to see this year? Or like people that you guys are playing alongside that you're stoked on or?
Yes. Dude, we're doing both Winter Wondergrasses this year.
Yeah.
The one in Steamboat and the one in Tahoe. And that lineup is always just like stacked. And it's also really cool, 'cause it's usually like, it's all bands that we're homies with. So it's usually like really great to see everybody and like sit in with other people and have them sit in with us. And that's like, that's always a great, great fucking time. We're doing Panic in La Playa this year in April down in Mexico, which is going to be just an outrageous fucking time, I'm sure. And then we're going from that. My April and May looks pretty insane. I go from that to we're playing at the Ryman with the Dusters. Very and cool. Leftover, which will be just great to like see, you know, those bands that we've idolized for so long and like are now our friends, kind of like big brothers to us, see them play like in that setting, you know, where the original Grand Ole Opry was. And then right after that we go to Jazz Fest, and we're playing a late night at Jazz Fest. And I've never been to Jazz Fest or even been to New Orleans.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dude. Very cool town.
Yeah.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Hot take. Cool city.
You're going to love it. Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome.
Yeah. The food alone is worth the trip. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Dude. Yeah. So that, and we're doing that. And then from there, I get to go to Rhythm and Sales, which is a thing that Anders Beck puts on from Green Sky. And it's me and him and a bunch of other musicians, and we go on a sailing trip with people through the Virgin Islands.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
Have you done that before?
No, this will be the first time.
Cool.
Anders has been like putting it together for a couple years, and I think they've done it once or twice already now. But they've been sort of like curating this experience for people, and it's like now it's you know, super well organized and well put together, and everyone that I've heard do it says it's a life-changing experience. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Well, dude, congrats on getting your life changed. That's going to be awesome. You're gonna have a blast.
Yeah, happily after that, I don't play the fucking banjo for a living.
Yeah. You're gonna come back and you're gonna work for the BLM again.
So. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm gonna come back clean cut. Go get that BLM job again in Billings. It'll be, you know, it's the day my ship will come in, you know. Yeah, we're so fucking back.
That's exactly right. We are so fucking back. We are so happy to be fucking back in season two of Best Show Ever. Thank you so much for listening to that whole episode. Torn's a great guy. We have just got more hangs in the future between me and him that I'm looking forward to. He's just a good dude, and he's seen some cool stuff. In the outros of these episodes now, I kind of want to do a new segment where we maybe make some corrections. You know, sometimes these episodes come out and then I get a message from someone that go, you know, actually that date was 8/6, not 8/7 or whatever it was. So I want to make sure that we, you know, for those of you who ever watched Pardon the Interruption on ESPN, I'm going to sort of Tony Reale this and I'm going to do some corrections here. One of those actually being right off the bat is I'm going to correct Torn. I'm going to be one of those actually guys. Actually, Torn, you said that King Giz never covers anyone or teases anyone else's songs other than their own. While that is largely true, they do a lot of teasing of their own material, and they don't do almost any covers. I did see them do Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys at Hollywood Bowl. So, and I wasn't mad about it. I got to tell you, it was fucking sick. If they're going to cover someone, I was not mad about the Beastie Boys. And so they did do that. But for the most part, Torin's right about that. I said, I want to correct something that I said. I said that I did everything I ever did in Chicago with my duo partner, Trent Dozier. It's not exactly true. I did other stuff. I had other groups. I had a group called Little Heroes that worked out of Logan Square Improv. If you're in Chicago, definitely go check out Logan Square Improv and check out Little Heroes. They're fucking phenomenal improv group. I did solo stuff. I did stand up. I did character work by myself that wasn't with Trent. I had other groups like Cactus. I think Cactus is still an ongoing group in Chicago that you can go see at the IO Theater. I was on that. So not everything I did was with Trent. A lot of it, but not all of it. That's all I have for corrections. This is actually a pretty factually correct episode. After I ran through my fact checker. And so we're all set on that. If you've listened all the way through, guys, thank you so much. We've got another episode out this week that you can also listen to with the guy who did all of the art for the season. If you've been enjoying the new art in season two, that's done by Andrew Sachs from Some Sachsy Art. He's the other episode that we've got out this week. Definitely go check him out. And if you're interested of more conversation with Sachs, a bonus clip, if you will, that exists, and it exists on the Patreon page that has been created for the Best Show Ever podcast. Go check out our Patreon page. The link is in the link tree of our Instagram. It's also on my Instagram. Hit the link tree, hit the first link in that. It'll take you to the Patreon page. And that is a page we want to use for just more bonus clips of the episodes, things that might have been edited out, more insight from these people, more conversation from these people. I'll look to release some exclusive merch on there first. And I'm also going to release all of these episodes a day early on the Patreon. So if you're interested in getting episodes a day early, if you're interested in exclusive merch, if you're interested in bonus clips, go ahead and become a member of the Patreon for $4. We're talking $4, and you get all this stuff. Enjoy that. Enjoy the other episode with Sax. And until next week, guys, have a great show.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaking microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick, and usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not-so-grown-up things like...
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe Grind Podcast.
Well, hey, friends. My name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.